Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this very special edition of, I don't even know how to start this show. I think we say welcome to season 248. That's exactly what we do. Episode 1 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your substitute teacher. You already know that because I'm kicking off the show. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Monday, August 1st, 2022, which means it is World Lung Cancer Day, International Child Free Day, International Mahjong Day. If you play Mahjong, shout out to you. And also Respect for Parents Day. Respect your parents, I guess, if you needed a day to tell you that. I will enjoy one of those holidays, whatever is most appropriate for me. I just want to get to it. My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. Glizzo, a.k.a. Glizzy McGuire, a.k.a. King Glizzard and the Glizzard. Because I've been eating a lot of hot dogs the last week. I just went to a show at the Greek. I bought one of the, you know, like an alley dog, like a straight, you know, LA street dog. I know inflation's hidden. That shit was $10. And I was like, oh,
for this is a sidewalk hot dog?
Yeah. And I think there was a tax because it was a white people concert. And I was like, look, I get it. You're probably not.
Okay, listen, yeah, you got to get what you can out of the rich white people.
And I looked at the person, I was like, $10? And I was like, looking at my arm, like, $10? Are we sure? And there were too many white people around me. And I was like, I can't fuck up their bag. I was like, yep, you know what? Keep the change. We out of here.
Yep.
Anyway, that's me. And who is that wonderful voice I hear across from me? That soothing, soothing voice I hear. Well, it's none other than my guest co-host. Someone who's, look, the single tweet off of them seeing Nope gave me goosebumps. And I am going to see that shit tomorrow. Somebody whose media takes I respect. Somebody whose sense of humor and humanity I admire. It's none other than the wonderful writer, host, producer, Joelle Monique!
Cram, cram, cram. AKA Purple Lipstick Don, Marvel Avenger, Beyonce's number one. I feel confident saying that now because I'm the 0.01% of listeners on Spotify to Beyonce, according to last year's Spotify stats.
Shit.
So, you know, me and B, it's a holiday today. We got new music at 9 o'clock last night.
What's your sign?
I'm a Libra.
Oh, that's no wonder you get along. We fucker. We Virgos. You know, Virgo Libras. We connected.
Yes, of course. Okay, right there.
September 4th. Okay. Anyway, so you're in the top 0.01% of billionaires 01%. That have donated to the GOP. Is that what you said?
I have listened to Beyonce. Don't be twisting my words out here, getting new stories out in the streets. I don't like it, Miles. Come on out.
Yeah. I've heard of this album. And I'm going to do more research. As you told me, there is a new album. Look, I know there's a new album.
We'll You're going to love it. It is like most I love the of first song. Last two albums. Of course you did, because it was fabulous.
But, I am that girl.
Histories of like exploration of Black history music, basically. Like,
yeah, that what teaser a bit trailer different. Where you saw like her hand going up the wall. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah.
Oh, it's happening. It's happening. Like, it's house music. It's club music. It's go-go. It's like every kind of house style music that's crafted by Black folks who like really imbued it, and then it's queer as hell for a straight lady, mm-hmm. for a woman who's only out here for dick. It's very gay, and I love it.
Love to see it. Well, that's good to have you here. Thank you so much for joining me. Because you make things so much easier. And also, nope, it was good, huh?
Oh, listen. I don't have time to get into it, but as my tweet said, actual awe. I don't have time to get into this. Actual awe as I was watching it. It might be my number one favorite Jordan Peele movie, which is controversial. Not everyone's going to like it. I think that should also be said. It's not a guaranteed you'll enjoy it. But if you'll like it because it speaks to the Hollywood. To me, it's a film about old Hollywood interacting with this current phase of Hollywood filmmakers, and what does that mean, and how do they interact, and what are they actually trying to do? And it's so beautiful and so thought provoking, and everyone is so talented in it. And then the main thing, which you can't really talk about because you'll spoil the movie, but the main thing is so impressive and inventive and new. You've never seen anything like it.
Okay, that's enough. All right. Don't. Okay, now I'm shooting off my body. Well, let's introduce our guest for today.
Yes, please.
We have a fantastic, hilarious stand-up comedian and writer. Somebody who you've seen on, you know, TV doing their stand-up thing. I saw a clip of Kimmel that basically made me laugh so hard. I was like, who is this dude and why aren't we doing something with him? Well, guess what? Shout out to super producer Anna Hosnier, because this person is also contributing to the latest series on the Clown Parade feed on Big Money Players Network. The first episode just dropped last week. It's called Don Saldivar Presents The Weakest Loser. Okay, and you got to check this out. Please welcome none other than Martin Urbano. Woo! Welcome, Martin.
Thanks for having me. How's it going?
Thanks for coming on, man. You got Don Saldivar Presents The Weakest Loser. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So in your Clown Parade feed, because this is like every, you know, last time we had Greta Titelman on, who was doing her stepmom character. Martin, you're taking over this time and you're doing a lot of like game show stuff. Every episode is going to be a different game show, right?
Yes.
How like where's your mind at where you go like where we're like comedians are like, you can do whatever you want. You're like, yeah. OK, I want to do a bunch of different game shows. Is this a very big thing for you, game shows?
All of the coolest comedians end up becoming game show hosts, you know?
Right.
Howie Mandel, Steve Harvey.
The GOAT.
Chris Hardwick.
The GOAT. all GOATs.
You know.
Louis Anderson.
On an equal level.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I like games. I like to play games. I like to make people happy. My stand-up is, you know, a lot of interaction. So I kind of figured, you know what? Let me just make a game show.
Okay.
And let me do a character of somebody who is canceled.
Right.
Game shows and podcasts are not easy because you don't have any of the visuals. I think someone who has to craft a unique game show every week, it is so challenging. I tried to be like, you can go look at pictures on Instagram. And the audience was like, we don't want to do that, girl. We do not. We want everything housed in just this podcast. How did you go about like deciding which games you wanted to use and like how you're going to like implement them into like an audio based sound place?
Well, also, I didn't quite understand the project when I initially had signed up for it. And so I made it very complicated and maybe a little too hard to produce. So there was a lot of work that had to be done on it. So I appreciate Anna and Olivia. Yeah, I don't know. I had been doing a Zoom game show. That was what I did during pandemic.
Got
it. Okay.
Like every week I was just like writing a bunch of new jokes and a bunch of new games. So I had a bunch to pick from to fill, you know, 4 episodes since I'd been doing it like a week. Yeah. Every week for like a year.
Oh. And Martin, you're in New York right now, right? You're a New York-based comedian?
Yes.
Did you, I love it here. Are you from out there?
Not from Texas.
Oh,
but okay. I have been here 6 years today, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay. Happy anniversary. No,
it's not actually today, but like in a couple weeks. But doesn't it feel special when I say it's today?
Yeah, it does. It feels serendipitous.
Also, it feels like a thing like you could tell people in New York they wouldn't give a fuck. Like if you're like, sure, yeah. Hey, actually, 6 years since I moved to the city, huh? They're like, get the fuck out of my way.
Everybody remembers, actually, right. When I moved here.
Because I feel like I see that all the time in L.A. Like you'll go to like Griffith Park or like a park and somebody's having like a party. And then you overhear them being like, you've been in L.A. for 5 years, party. And I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Okay, cool.
Listen, it takes some time to adjust, okay? You don't know because you've been here forever.
I'm scum. I'm local scum. I know.
When you migrate here, you're like, oh, crap. How am I going to do anything here? It's so hard. I have no money. You got to pay to get in everywhere. Street festivals cost money here. It makes no sense. It's a wild space.
That's why we snuck in everywhere.
You know, you're like, I survived 10 years. It's like, you know, I don't want to compare it to like a prison sentence, but sometimes you just be like chalking it up. Like, I did it. Another year. I didn't leave. I stayed. Making it happen.
It's the one prison where the prisoners try to like move up to the next nicer prison of like a next deal that they're in. It's like, and now I'm in this creative prison. It's actually, this prison is a lot better than the last one. Still a prison though. Anyway, we're going to get to know you better, Martin, in a second. But first, let's tell everybody what we are talking about. First, we're going to catch up with the shattered man from Missouri, Senator Josh Hawley, who, if you remember last week, maybe two weeks ago, when the JN6 committee showed that clip of him running for his life in the Capitol and everybody laughed at him. Well, he's got a response. OK, you thought he was not a man. Well, guess what? He will prove that to you in the most fucking weird way you could imagine. It's toxic. Also, we're going to check in with Marvel movies. And just VFX in general. We love the VFX. We love that makes the magic happen. But is it hard to be one of these VFX artists on these films? Mm. Spoiler alert. Yes, it is. It's very fucked up. Then we're going to talk about GameStop and their recent pivot to selling NFTs. Like, even though it's like a wrap for NFTs and shit. But we'll look into that and some of the terrible business decisions being made there. And plenty more. But first, Martin, we got to ask our guest, man, what's something from your search history?
Oh, we're opening with that. Okay. How to delete Google search history. No, let me pull it.
Can
up.
FBI see my search history right now?
Young Sheldon.
Okay. Oh, God. You killed Miles. You destroyed him. No.
Oh my God.
We were not ready for young Sheldon over here. This is news.
I just choked hearing somebody just say that shit like seriously. Oh my God. I was taking a sip of coffee. I'm sorry, what?
Young Sheldon?
What were you hoping to get information about when you typed in young Sheldon to your Google search bar?
I got young Sheldon viewership. Young Sheldon ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Young Sheldon season 5 ratings and Young Sheldon Wikipedia.
You fucking with Young Sheldon?
I'm doing research.
Okay.
Are you trying to understand how it became such a success or trying to emulate that success?
I was just trying to see the level of success it had, and it's quite successful.
I'm sorry, dude. You really fucked me up by just saying Young Sheldon like earnestly and that. I don't know why.
Is there any other way to say it?
Is young Sheldon like a meme? And did I have a weird response to that? Or in my mind, I remember seeing in LA, they were blasting every billboard and bus bench and shit with young Sheldon. I was like, this is so stupid. I don't give a fuck. Like y'all are just trying to turn back the clock on like your IP that's successful. Like what? So in my mind, I was like, man, fuck young. Like, I don't know. That was always my feeling towards it. So when you said it, I was like,
I think those billboards worked. It has 5 seasons out. The 5th one just wrapped in May. And they got renewed for 2 more seasons.
Fuck.
And 5 episodes before their finale, they reached syndication. They had over 100 episodes.
Wow.
Fucked up.
Well, TNT, here they come.
Jeez,
they're ready.
Bro. Sometimes
Middle America.
Joel, what the fuck are we doing? I think we just need to make some like white people feel good shit. Get in syndication and then just fucking funnel the money into, like, you know, radical political shit.
That seems to be the way to do it. You got first appeal to white people and then disrupt their system.
Right.
You know, gain some power and the leverage of finance and then attack.
We got to do Jan 6 to like white media. You know what I mean? Put the pieces in place and be like, surprise, motherfucker. They're like, we sent our own slate of electors to greenlight this show. They're like, what the fuck? Okay. But Young Sheldon, and it ranks up there with Big Bang Theory.
As far as what metric?
Like in terms of like viewership? Its significance, like it's because it's based off Big Bang Theory, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is huge. I think it had like 10 seasons. I don't know.
Jesus.
So it's catching up.
Yeah.
But no, unfortunately, I do not have Big Bang Theory in my search history, so I don't know the numbers on that.
Bazinga. That's all I know from that.
That's his catchphrase.
Is that Sheldon's catchphrase? I just remember I worked with somebody who had all this Bazinga shit on their desk. And I remember the first day I worked there, I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? I'm like, is this? They're like, they're really into Big Bang Theory. And I was like, I need to start doing jobs that I like. So I have to be around this shit.
It brings them joy.
Yeah. You know,
if it brings them happiness, I'm happy to have Young Sheldon now.
Right, exactly. All right, I'm not going to yuck their yum. Shout out Bazinga, okay? All day. what's something you think is underrated, Martin?
Underrated is a good question. You did tell me to have that prepared, and that's the one part I left blank. Because I just kind of think everything that I like, it's good.
Right.
So everybody knows that the things I like.
Quality.
Yeah, I can't name a single thing that I think is good that people don't also think is good. It's just my taste is just at that perfect level where everything is rated perfectly that I like.
I've triangulated culture and I'm just right there dead center of it.
Nailed it.
I'm a cultural centrist. Is that what I like to do? It's like, yeah, I'm like right down the middle with everything. Do y'all ever feel like you liked a thing that you thought was niche like years before and then now it's like the most popping thing ever?
Hell yeah, I discovered anime.
Okay. Yeah. You feel like that about anime? That's fair.
I'm really enjoying this Yu Yu Hakusho. I can't believe nobody's ever heard of it. Wild. Totally unique to just me and my personality. I'm so creative. that shit was hitting before I was born. People really enjoyed it. I had major success. That's why I got to hear it in English. So, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
There are times I feel like that about music when I was like, man, I was fucking with this music. Fucking. Not even like an artist, but like a genre. Mm. Like you can kind of watch a genre be like, this was niche a second ago, and now it's like foundational to like all music now. That's like
I think that really means you're just the first person in your friendship circle to point it out. You know, the first one to be like, ooh, I like this. And I introduce all my friends to it. So I've become like the, I don't want to say like a hub, but you know.
You're amazing. You're a tastemaker.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So, Warren, what about you? You're ahead of the trends, man. What trends were you getting ahead of?
Actually, I'm quite behind on trends. I don't keep up
with
things.
It right at the right time.
I'm maybe not the best guest to have on this where we talk about topical, you know, zeitgeisty stuff. I'm not great at that. But I did just get into a song called Ignition Remix.
Stop it.
Oh, no. Okay. Fucking fine.
It's really good.
Oh man, yeah. I'll send you a couple links after this.
Yeah, to what?
You can read up on the fate the fate of that song. Yeah, it's the reason we're not hearing it that much these days.
I started hearing it a lot because it's the number one thing I've listened to on Spotify. You know, I don't listen to too much music. If you look at my playlist, it's all like throwback songs from like early 2000s, like Sum 41 and like Teenage Dirtbag, like that kind of stuff.
Sure.
So my music tastes, I don't listen to much music.
Yeah.
So when somebody is being defended by people after they've done those things, I'm like, they must have some good stuff. I should check it out.
You're like, they can't put the art down, huh?
Yeah, that's how good it is. These people are defending him.
Who knows? What's something you think?
No, anyway, sorry about that. Huh?
What's something you think is overrated, Martin?
Young Sheldon. That's why I was doing the research. I was trying to look at the numbers. I didn't know you were going to ask the search history first.
Yeah. What's up with Young Sheldon, man?
You know, it's not for me.
Yeah.
It's not for me, but a lot of people watch it. Let's see. I got the numbers pulled up right here. All right. So the season finale got 7 million viewers. I mean, in this day and age, 7 million. That is...
Wow.
That is... You know, they deserve it. 76% on Rotten Tomatoes and 5 seasons with 2 more on the way. I mean, that means people love it. It's highly rated, but I personally, it's not for me.
Yeah. Are you, Joel, you ever seen Young Sheldon?
No, I have
not. In the Big Bang universe at all?
I watched 2 episodes of Big Bang and I said, oh, it's not for me. It hits like all the other CBS, you know, 2 and a Half Men. It's just the comedy's, again, for me, not hitting. And then I just don't care about these characters or their journeys. Catch me over on HBO. That's where I hang.
Wait, so what's a show you do like though, Martin?
The Rehearsal. Like,
the what? Oh, The Rehearsal. Yeah.
The Rehearsal.
Yeah.
I'm really
that's
into
good.
It.
Hey, that's good.
I mean,
it's on HBO?
Yeah. Well, on HBO.
It's sort of the Young Sheldon of HBO Max.
You might wake up upright on Miracle status after watching it. You never know. Because of that Scion episode. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, dude. I just love, again, just the repetition of somebody who has like this one thing that happened to them and they say it over and over, which is when I crashed my Scion TC going 100 miles an hour. Like, I have a friend who was like, yeah, you know, like when I was on that cruise ship and like I almost fell off. And it's like, you say that 3 times a week, apropos of nothing. But I get it. It was a close
I also time. Like his numbers thing. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just points out random numbers.
Yo, yeah. Look, 22, 88. Oh, look, Joel, you got it's. I'm very curious to see what your take is on it. If it
okay, I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna check
deeply
it out.
Uncomfortable. You think it's hilarious, or you can't believe someone put this much thought into making a TV show.
Did you watch Nathan outcomes. For you?
Did you
watch Nathan? No. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Okay.
I miss a lot of the like. I didn't watch too much Curb Your Enthusiasm. A lot of stuff like stand-up comedians are like, this is it. I watched what's the show with the lady, not The Return. Y'all know two women comedy writers. Hacks, that thing. Yeah. I watched season one. I like that a lot. I would check out season 2, plan 2.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm, you know me. I'm watching the Marvel and the fantasy and the sci-fi.
Look, you get to it when you
I'm not trying to be on this planet when I'm watching things. Take me somewhere else, please.
You're like, hold on. This is Earth-based content? Fuck that.
Pass.
You watch Harley Quinn? New season just started.
I fucking love Harley Quinn.
Harley Quinn's awesome.
Yes.
Also on HBO.
See? There we go. Okay. Now
I'm excited to watch it.
Now, what if Young Sheldon was on Harley Quinn? Would you be fucking with it then?
That would be multiverse stuff. And you know I'm excited about multiverse stuff.
You cowards.
The multiverse of madness. Young Sheldon comes out.
I want Young Sheldon to appear on Rap Shit just in the middle of Miami. Trying to figure it out.
They're like, who's that little boy in the audience? Turn it up. Wow, he bought 3 bottles of Douce tonight. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk some news right after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the 3 most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
There's a lot happening these days, But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back. Masculinity is something that's really centered in our culture right now. And toxic men seem to be at the wheel of many things. And we see it manifesting all over the place. You got white men that are angry that they're losing status. So they double down on xenophobia, racism. They see themselves as less potent. Gender equality as an existential threat. So we get even more severe laws that restrict people's body autonomy. So many conservatives are living in this like fucked up hell world where men are at risk of being wiped off the face of the earth because someone used the word patriarchy in front of, like around them, which feels like just the general vibes. Like, what? So I'm the fucking bad guy now? Like, always. You're like, what? Yo, chill the fuck out. And also, yes. But we see it in like, I've brought up the fake ass tough guy persona of like Ted Cruz when he wants to act like a real badass when he is a shook one with a like a noodle spine. And we definitely saw it a couple weeks ago with Senator Josh Hawley. So for those that don't recall, Josh Hawley is a senator from Missouri. On January 6th, there's a very famous picture of him gassing up the rioters. He's like giving them like the power fist. Like, yeah, y'all going to fucking fuck shit up in the Capitol. Do your thing. Take back your country. And then when shit got so dire in the actual Capitol, he fucking ran away for his life like some non-patriot man. What the fuck was that, Josh? So I just to set the table, I just want to like before we get into his response about the January 6th stuff, I just want people to understand where Josh Hawley comes from, like as a guy, like as some and just American politician.
He, did he not step out of an 80s movie? He's not the bully in an 80s movie?
I mean, he's like a guy who it's like an like it's almost like a villain origin story where you the whole time you think you're like, this is the bully grown up and he's the villain. And it's actually the victim of the bully who like became the bully after years.
Oh, God,
it was you. Noodle arms.
It's the whole time.
Yeah. So I just want to play this clip of him saying this out loud at a conference of other like-minded creeps and just, you know, listen to this. This is his explanation as to why I'm just masculinity in America is going down the effing drain.
We'd be surprised that after years of being told that they are the problem, that their manhood is the problem, more and more men are withdrawing into the enclave of idleness and pornography and video games. I found the comment by one young man to a Wall Street Journal reporter, particularly evocative.
Particularly.
And particularly heartbreaking.
Particularly.
He said, I'm sort of waiting for a light to come on so I can figure out what to do next.
That sounds like someone who's just been crushed by capitalism. Mm-hmm. But sure, that does sound bad. Men are...
I am pissed right now. He is stealing all of my material. That's straight from my stand-up.
The idolist of manhood right now.
Pornography, video games.
So, you know, he's like one of these guys who's constantly like banging the drum, being like, yo, the left is on a campaign to make men less masculine and diminish their role in family life in order to bring about the end of the white family, which is where all these roads lead, which is all just off the tree of like anti-Semitic tropes about like who's really trying to destroy the American family kind of shit. And anyway, that guy, the one who is very secure in his dickness, was probably not going to react well to a room full of people laughing their asses off at a clip of him running like a scared, shook one. And that's what happened during the January 6th commission when they played the footage of him like on a security camera, like running like away from the like rotunda to be like, oh, fuck, get me out of here. And you could hear the whole audience be like, they're like, that's the guy earlier who was so rah-rah about the fucking insurrection. Well, he is now combined the absurdity of that earlier sort of speech that I played for you. And he is now melding that with his anger at the people for seeing how scared he was to announce that he is a man, actually, just so you know. So much so, in fact, that he is writing a book on manliness. And I don't know how much of a better defense you can come up with than saying, I'm literally writing the book on manliness. So back the fuck up.
What's it called? Do you know?
Get ready, Martin. What would you call it? I mean, I'm guessing if you were doing this as a very transparent play to be like, I felt emasculated in this clip. Now I'm going to double down by saying I'm writing the book on masculinity. What would you title it?
12 Rules for Living Your Life.
That feels about right.
Was that Jordan Peterson book? Wasn't it that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. Something, some dumb shit like that. Wait, what'd you say, Joelle?
I said, no vaginas, how to be a man.
No, right, exactly. Well, both were close. It's called Manhood, the Masculine Virtues Americans Need.
Josh, shut the fuck up. Oh, my God.
It's inspired.
Oh, my God.
Hold on, Joelle. Let me tell you, if it's inspired by some really cool shit, though, too. This is from, I think, the Kansas City, the local paper, saying, quote, the book appears to be a more in-depth version of the speech, which I played an extract from, in which Holly will draw from Greek and Roman philosophers, Jesus, and his political icon, Teddy Roosevelt. He'll focus on traits he defines as masculine, responsibility, bravery, fidelity, and leadership.
He just hopped on 4chan. He's like, okay, so they're quoting some Greeks and Romans. Great. Teddy Roosevelt carried a gun. None of that conservation shit. We're not going to talk about none of that. But the gun part, he was right. In the Army. Dope. Or the Navy. So that'll be perfect. And okay, cool. Yeah. Bravery, leader. This sounds like the whatever they put. Like, well, you know, in high school, you get like a little... like a school quote, and then it'll be like, I don't know, OHS, responsibility, like these are our core value beliefs. Like, you sound like a child. I also think if you have to write a book on how to be masculine, I don't know, man. I don't know. You sounded insecure in the daylight.
We got to read the book, to be fair, before we can.
I don't think so.
I think so.
I mean, read the book in its entirety at least twice, just so that we can really know.
Have we thought about this? I think, like, you know, as men, we should think about this. Like, he said, you should never sit down to pee.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great rule. I think that's cool. No, I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's the kind of shit that's going to be in his book. It's like, sitting down to pee is a slippery slope to you being in, like, a reprogramming camp to pick your new gender, which is how all of these fucking people think. But just so you guys know, because if... just when you thought it couldn't get fucking weirder.
No.
Because look, the book is about compensating for not being man enough, whatever the fuck he even thinks a man is. He's going to be doing some press and some promotion that he tied to the announcement of this book being released. Prior to the release, he will be one of the keynote speakers at the Stronger Men's Conference.
Bitch, what?
Well, hold on, I'm going to tell you what. Because I got the motherfucking trailer for the Stronger Men's Conference 2023 iteration. I'm just going to start a couple seconds in just so you can see.
Okay.
Tell me if you can make sense of what this fucking conference is when I play you the fucking trailer for it.
I got my tickets early bird special, actually.
Oh, but that before even knowing Josh Holly was even announced?
Yeah, they're going to be sold out for sure.
I mean, off the strength of 2022's. I mean, that was a memorable one. This is just a part of the trailer.
Incredible.
Spacemen. Okay.
Immediately incredible.
All right. Some stock footage. Men. Cowboys.
Monster truck.
Whoa.
Fire.
The concerts.
Phallic space.
This is so manly.
I like to call them penis fires.
U.S. There's senator.
All these people I never heard of. A guy swinging a flaming log. A guy riding a bull. Someone.
Boxing.
No weapon formed against you will prosper.
Oh, shit.
Oh, they got the Jesus hands up. They're really praising.
And fight to win.
Okay, so
to win what?
You know, the fucking race war. They don't got to tell you out loud what the fuck they're talking about. They're saying, we got to fight to win the race war against the communists or whatever the fuck they're talking about. Did you see the imagery in this? So for people, I know we were just ranting over it. What did we see? We saw a bunch of space dicks being launched into the air. I don't know why there was repeated rocket launch footage, but I get it.
Because there's a space race and we like Elon Musk. That was trending for a while. So space. Okay. Uh-huh. Boxing, the manliest of sports. Surprisingly, no football or basketball shots. Like boxing is essentially the only what I'm going to call a sport. You also saw some monster trucks.
Yep.
A very strong man spinning some fire.
A flaming log. It looked like a telephone pole.
It was not a baton, y'all. It was very much a log.
Because this is a man.
Yes, because he's a man, right.
Because
not dinky. Bigger, better. We get it. Pretty much what you might see your dad flip through on a Sunday when he's tired. If you just rapid fire flipping through channels, these are like his favorite channels, you know? You have that setting on your satellite dish or whatever.
Right.
Those are the images you would see.
Like I mean, Spike TV.
Yeah, exactly.
It was very Spike TV vibe.
It was everything Spike TV stood for, but condensed into like a 40-second montage with stock footage. So there will be monster trucks.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Can't think of a manlier event than that, or people who couldn't know less who they are than if they have to go to something like that. Pretty tragic.
Josh Hawley is one of those people who can't ever, like, you only ever see him yelling directly to the camera or talking directly to his audience, because if he had to do any kind of debate, he would crumple immediately, as we saw recently in the congressional, like, discussions on abortion, where he was just going after this professor. And she was like, okay, but, like, let's take a step back. What did you actually say and what do you actually believe?
Oh, so that's violent? That I'm denying the existence of truth? That's
Are
violent?
You denying their existence, sir? Is that, you know, can a man get pregnant? No. Okay, well then.
He's like, I don't know. A man might. I'm going to the Stronger Men's Conference in a few months, and there may be a different speaker. They're showing
you
that men can do anything.
You would think they would be so elated at men wanting to be able to be like, listen, now we are the creators of life. Being able to, like, grow, develop, and then push out a baby is the most badass thing a woman can do. And I'm shocked that men aren't like, fuck it. And now we can do it too. Clearly, we're the superior, like, sex.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm sure they'd want something like that. But yeah, we'll see at the Stronger Men's Conference what comes of that. But I know the Harlem Globetrotters, it may have performed at a previous one. It's
really?
I think it's probably this intersection of, like, Christian, like, evangelical stuff and, like, sort of like a convention to try and court more young people into being fascists.
I want to apologize to the hotel staff in advance. This can't be a pretty weekend for you. Now, you see a lot of weird conferences come and go, but this is going to be really hell for the ladies. I hope the men step up and really, you know, y'all clean the bedrooms and stuff this week or something. Give these women some time off. Good Lord.
That's not what I learned at the Stronger Men's Conference. Slippery slope, actually. So
I heard at the Stronger Men Conference, Kevin Feige is going to release more Marvel movies.
He's going to unveil phase 69 of the fucking
They
MCU.
Love Captain America, so, you know.
Yeah, except the actor that plays
him. I don't think Chris loves them, but they love them some Cap.
Yeah. All right. Well, actually, speaking of Marvel, I just want to talk, look, just quickly, because we also like to talk about how hard it is, you know, to be a working person in America.
Yeah.
And even when you're making VFX for blockbuster films that make literally billions of dollars, sometimes it's hard to even get a living wage. There's a recent quote from Natalie Portman where she was talking about, like, one of her favorite scenes in Thor Love and Thunder was just literally shot in a Best Buy parking lot against a blue screen or green screen or, you know, whatever. It's the same thing. She said there's, quote, one scene that's one of the most visually beautiful scenes I've seen on film. And we shot it in a real life Best Buy parking lot. It's so wild to be on this size of a movie. And we were literally in a parking lot with a blue screen doing this really dramatic thing. It looks so stunning on film. But every time I see it, I'm like, that's a Best Buy parking lot. Which is, I think, speaks to the amount of work that visual effects artists have to do, from her saying it's one of the most visually stunning scenes, but we just did the work of being in a Best Buy parking lot. The VFX teams have to do the work of then making the Best Buy parking lot one of the most visually stunning scenes they've ever seen, which is, I think, a very valid point. And then recently, people were like taking shots at some of like the VFX in the She-Hulk trailer. I mean, like, I looked at it, didn't seem like the most effects heavy trailer, but I don't know, like, if what exactly the criticisms were, but I feel
She is entirely VFX because Tatiana Maslany is a very tiny person. The She-Hulk
to make her that
into
big.
A 6'7", all green. I don't think they did any kind of like body paint for this. Right. She's a completely CG'd character. So a lot of people are.
They're not even like editing her like live face and then just like giving it a green.
They're doing a digital recording of her face. So the thing with like there they put the dots on the face and they're mapping the movement in her face. But no, she is not getting any kind of visual effects, makeup or anything like that. So it's 100% the character.
I was over here. This is my old ass being like, this shit doesn't look that bad. Why is everybody angry? And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, she could be 6'7", lifting that dude to the bed. Like, okay.
Yeah, it looks better. It looks better every time we get a new trailer. But definitely up front. You can tell it was rough. In the same way that if you saw Black Panther when it originally hit theaters, CGI was not finished yet. You're seeing like a mostly completed situation, but that's kind of what happens. I mean, visual effects and CG are kind of not the last step. You usually have audio as the final step in a mix when you're editing a movie, but visual effects come pretty close to the end. It's a post-production practice, and so a lot of times they're under the gun for, you know, the time the studio said the movie would hit the theaters. And on top of that, it is an ass load of work. If you've seen a Marvel movie, they're shrinking people, they're blowing them up, they're creating entirely new planets. Like, a lot of their rooms and spaces are not practical, although they're sort of starting to figure out ways to smooth that out a little bit. So they have the new like a 360 room that's all screens on ceiling, the ground, all around, and so you can shoot in there and do a lot of previs work. Right? Yeah, it looks real dope. They're also building some practical sets. They built a street in New York for their back lot. So now they're doing, you know, most Marvel movies take place in New York. The majority have at least some scenes in New York. So they have 4 blocks of New York street that they can dress and design for different sets that we'll probably see in the future. This will help in not having to, A, go to location, or B, try to design a lot of this stuff in a computer. But it's definitely been brutal. And especially if you follow any of these visual effects artists, I mean, working 18-hour days or sometimes longer, not being paid is, again, not new for Disney or Marvel. We've seen it, you know, even the original writers who created this character. I think if a character you created shows up in a movie, you get like a $5,000 check, which, you know, if you're a regular person, you're like, sweet, I love $5,000 for work I did 20 years ago. But if you create that character out of whole cloth, and especially if your stories are what made them successful, and then they're taking parts of that story and then building a billion-dollar franchise out of it, it's super frustrating because you're not consulted about how that character appears. You're not consulted about, you know, if or when they appear or whom they appear next to.
Right.
They often change and articulate the story a little bit differently. So it's just, it's frustrating. And the thing is, you know, we're seeing it with, like, Hulk as well, and with Thor too. I know there was a lot of controversy when Tessa and Taika were on, and they kind of like gently ribbed at some of the CGI in Thor not being 100% completed. And, you know, it set people off because the people that do this work, you know, they're very dedicated. They are. Everyone who works on a film wants it to look its best. They want to do their best job. And so, you know, when you're top of the line, kind of poking fun at bottom of the line people, that can be irritating.
No, it's never
for
a good
sure.
Look. And this is like against a backdrop, too. Like, with, like you're saying, a lot of VFX artists are on the internet talking very directly about like their experiences working and saying that they're, you know, they would describe the relationship with Marvel as like toxic and not being paid the equivalent to the amount of work they put in, which is just in general, I think, in the world right now, it's the same story, like no matter what the industry is. They talked about how like on Thor, they were asking for like complete mini sequences of like nearly fleshed out like VFX sequences 2 to 3 weeks before they actually needed to deliver it. So it's like that makes the deadline a lot sooner based on the amount of work that has to be done. One person talked about how like, you know, regularly they'll see other like VFX artists just like melt down, like because they're so stressed, whether that's like throwing computer monitors or like just like losing their shit, like marriages becoming strained. And the problem is, like a lot of industries where people's labor gets exploited like that, the VFX artists aren't unionized. And There was a report in The Independent that said under half of the VFX workforce in London is actually unionized. And it you can kind of see how studios get around all this stuff, like cutting corners to save money, where a lot of the costumes now are made in post, like on the computer, because it's much easier to ask a person on a computer to work just longer hours to make the suit look how it needs to, rather than to go to the unionized costumers and be like, can you tweak this like real garment that you're creating to look a certain way? So it's all very murky and exploitative at the end of the day. And this isn't just, you know, this isn't just necessarily a Marvel thing. This is like across the board, like people, especially during the pandemic, there are people who had to go, you know, they didn't want a lot of VFX artists to work from home because they're like, they're going to leak shit. So they need to come inside to this closed off office and work together during the pandemic to make sure we don't leak anything. And I know people who've worked post in the pandemic and they were getting sick all the time because there's no, like, if you go to like any place that does like post, like a post house, they're dark windowless fucking spaces with not very good airflow. So it's a very tough environment for sure.
Do you think like people talking about it now, it's going to change things? Like, didn't Sausage Party like have something to it? Like the animators like were unhappy with Sony, and did that change anything after people talked about that?
I think like anything, right? It's like everything. There'll be the people and activists or people who are like the most vocal about it. It probably has like this lifespan of like, it gets a few headlines and then it dies and the studio's like, okay, good. No one's talking about it. But I think now I think in this era too, when you see more people are open to the idea of unionizing, you'd think that this could change things. But knowing like, you know, certain companies like studios like Disney, they're notorious for being cheap. Like that's just like from the people that work for them to like journalists that have done like junkets with them. They're like, Jesus, like I had to bring my own chair to this press conference kind of shit. To answer your question, I don't think things are getting better, man.
Yeah, I don't know how any of it works. But, you know, I know what society we live in, sure.
Right, no. And I think that's, at the end of the day, like, it's either going to be, because, like, when you, even the business of getting these jobs is, like, VFX studios are just undercutting each other to get the gig. They'll be like, oh, yeah, how much work do you have? Like, oh, yeah, we'll do it for this much. And then another VFX, because they want the gig and the credit, they'll be like, oh, yeah, we can do it for fucking 10, 20% less than that. And all of that ends up coming, like all of that extra stress ends up just funneling down to the person at the VFX artist level who's now being like, oh, yeah, dude, you're getting 30% less than you normally would. And you also need to do 40% more work in 20% of the time. That's a lot of math.
Yeah, that sucks. To put it lightly, that sucks.
Okay, good. Okay, that's just, I'm going to make sure, Martin, your take is your... Okay, good.
I'm going to go out on a ledge here and say, not so good.
Okay, good. Okay, good. he always manages to find the right take.
I was just kind of quietly listening on this because I enjoy Marvel movies, but, you know, I don't know anything about VFX.
As someone who watches Marvel movies, are you someone who is particularly like fixated on the visual effects? Are you, because sometimes like can you kind of tell if shit looks janky?
I have noticed. Did you watch Spider-Man? Mm-hmm. The new Spider-Man?
Yeah.
I felt like a lot of that, I couldn't really see what was going on. I felt like you know, you said like an old person, like you thought it was fine. I thought felt like an old person, like I'm like, what's happening on the screen? It's too busy for me. Like I can't really see, but I don't want to say anything like that because I don't want, it's not the VFX people's fault. It's
no, Marvel's right. Well, and I think, but this larger issue, right? Because it is something that people talk about. It's like the VFX have been like fucking steadily degrading, like in the films. But the real thing is like it coincides with like the terrible business practices of like VFX studios and the film studios to compensate them and the demands that are put on them, which I think is like sort of ultimately what I think but many VFX artists are trying to get people to understand. It's like, dude, stop fucking coming at us like being like, yo, this shit looks like Shrek 6 or whatever. It's like, how about I'm barely making ends meet and I'm under terrible deadlines, but all y'all are seeing is the finished product without any consideration for the humans behind it. So
yeah, and that can be kind of sexist too. Like the Hulk has always had some issues just with like general overall design and maybe not looking polished and hasn't received like a tenth of the criticism that She-Hulk has,
right?
And I think a lot of that is she's not the sexy giant green woman I wanted her to be. Why? Right. Or, you know, the dimensions are whatever. Like, just in the same way that women's bodies are overly critiqued, I think that some of that has plastered over to here as well. I think for the most part, the CGI is passable. I don't think Disney's ever released anything that isn't passable. But I also think that there has got to be a better way for them to support these folks coming up. The other thing, too, is you're seeing an interesting turn in Marvel where they're hiring younger and younger and less experienced directors. Occasionally, they'll get like a legacy director like Sam Raimi for the new
Spider-Man.
Doctor Strange. Yes.
Oh, Doctor Strange.
Yeah. But I also think that that's another way of them exercising control and bringing down costs. You're going to get paid for doing a Disney Marvel film because it's Disney Marvel and there's some prestige to that. But there's also, you know, oh, I really want, it's a huge step for my career and I'll take a little less money because exposure. Still, even at that level, it seems insane, but I promise you it's true. I think I talked about it on this show before, but I once was talking to a writer for Disney who wrote them a very successful animated film, wanted to come back and do another, and the offer was less second time around. And they were like, yo, that doesn't make any sense. We had success off of our first one. Your money goes up, or at the very least stays the same. And they were like, but you're working for Disney. It's such a pleasure. She was like, the person she was talking to, she asked, you know, would you take less money for the current job you're doing? And they're like, absolutely. Because I'm working for Disney and I love it.
Oh my goodness.
No. Get out.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think the thing with, you know, there's a very similar pipeline where they take like young directors who like do well at festivals. And then you'll see these people like their first film's like a fucking tentpole blockbuster. And the whole point too is it's easier for the studios to scapegoat those directors and treat them as disposable and be like, well, you can never work with them again. They completely
Well, and they're
going
to take all of your notes because they don't want to be seen as difficult. They're nervous and scared about, you know, is it going to be good? So, yeah, it's the same industry it's always been. We're trying to get a little more transparency here and there.
Yeah.
But be aware, children, as you enter. It can be volatile.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about like the real shit, which is NFTs of like a blunt or something that GameStop is selling. I don't know. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health-Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health-Aid Kombucha today.
And we're back. NFTs. Thoughts?
Bill Gates said he's not buying them, so neither am I. He's like, there's no actual value in this property. So he's not doing NFTs and he's not doing cryptocurrency.
Yeah,
I invested a little money in cryptocurrency just for funsies to see what would happen. It was horrifying. And then it bounced back a little bit and it was horrifying again. I'm going to just keep it there. It's fine. It's enough. But I can't get into this NFT business. I can't understand purchasing art I can't physically own.
You can, though, own a piece of the blockchain that does contain a link to a different server where the image is hosted.
Which is pretty cool.
Exactly. You have for a piece of art. Someone was on fucking Twitter being like, people don't understand this whole concept. What you have is the receipt for something. So even if that vanishes, you will always be holding the proof that it exists. And people were like, okay, so what if I just keep eating hamburgers, but I got a receipt and I go to McDonald's and be like, I got the receipt. Where's my hamburger? Mm-hmm. And people are like, yeah, this is a very odd metaphor that this person is creating.
Well, and what we've seen is that they're not secure. I mean, Seth Green had one stolen, lost an entire show he had based around. That's millions of dollars and lots of people's jobs. And it's funny
people
because
lost jobs.
Like, I mean, listen. It's true, though. Like, there was an entire company's, like, this was going to be their next show launch. They had written many scripts. There were lots of actors involved. Like, it was going to be an actual project. And while I know we don't want to empathize too much with, like, millionaire guy who's created all the things he wants to create and is out here. But at the same time, it's like, at the same time, I just think that it's like a valid warning to everyone who's like, no, I own this. And it really, truly holds value. There's,
also,
it's imaginary.
Zoom out, right? Because NFTs are just part of the crypto scam to get people to buy crypto, right? Because the people who are the OG, like holders of a lot of crypto that is worth a lot of money, they need more stooges to come into the market and create liquidity for them so they can cash out their crypto. And when that sort of churn started to slow down, they're like, what if we started selling NFTs to get people to normalize crypto use. Mm-hmm. And now people were buying GIFs and JPEGs and shit like that.
There was an NFT convention here in New York.
NY or whatever the fuck that was?
Whatever it was called. I just happened to end up at multiple after parties for NFT stuff.
Yeah.
And I will say, had the time of my life. It was really fun.
They're spending money.
Those NFT bros know how to party.
Did you go to the one that Snoop was at or Eminem?
Neither. I snuck in, basically.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. As one should.
Much like NFTs themselves, the convention was not secure.
Right. Exactly. Any fucking body could have came in and purported themselves to be the leader of the movement. But GameStop, right? That about 2 years ago is when they had the huge game stonk boom on Reddit, and everyone was like, "Fucking, we're going to the fucking to the moon, bro! Got these diamond hands," and now. Fucking GameStop, 2 weeks ago, GameStop has basically said, we're getting into the NFT business. We're also an NFT marketplace. We've watched the crypto market crash like fucking twice significantly in the last, like once a month since like May. It's just been like meltdown, meltdown, meltdown. We've seen all these crypto exchanges go down. We've seen like different coins go down and declare bankruptcy and leaving a lot of bag holders. So 2 weeks ago, they're like, okay, this is the time to strike. So this is just wild because when you look at just sort of overall at the health of the GameStop business, they laid off like over 160 people recently. So you're just like, okay, so things are going well or not well. But, you know, luckily now rather than going into a GameStop and seeing like 4,000 used copies of Grand Theft Auto 5 on PlayStation 4, you can now buy NFTs from them, which are listed at amounts that I don't know who the fuck is affording. One GIF that they're selling is listed at over $400,000. Wow. And then there's this other
what
one.
What about used? What price?
I know, right? Could you imagine that they do that shit? Like eventually where there's a rack of like used NFTs, even though, I mean, how can art is just something that cannot be new or used, just merely changed.
Just pre-owned.
Yeah.
Pre-owned.
That'd be the funniest business to sell is you have a place called pre-owned NFTs, but you just print out a bunch of clip art and like, dude, you want this one? $3, dude. This is yours, man. This is ape number 3336. It's the one that looks the most Nazi-like. But there is this one picture right now called Rolly Z, and it's like a blunt. It's a picture of a weird cartoon blunt.
Let's be real to you, a bad picture.
Yo,
objectively bad.
This, I don't even know if it's a blunt or a matchstick, but the end that doesn't have the match head on it, like the bottom of a matchstick. Mm-hmm. But this is selling for, it's listed for over $5 million.
Whoa.
$5 million, and yes, it's not tangible. You can't, yes, touch it. I will get into this stuff when we can upload our consciousness to the Matrix. Until such a time as that exists, again, I say, what is the point? Please make better art. The thing too is that I know there are NFT artists out there making really great art. That just, it like, it looks good on your computer screen, which is the only place, yeah, you'll ever see it. Well, I guess you could have it professionally printed if you wanted to.
Which is a hard, because they the people like with the crypto schemes, they did a good job of wrangling in a lot of actual artists to, yeah, get them to preach this new idea of ownership when it's all very, it's like vaporware. You know, like there's not, mm-hmm, I can't find one computer scientist that's like worth a fuck who's actually expressed an opinion that's positive towards crypto. They're like, nothing these fools are saying actually even makes sense to people, to me, a computer scientist who like created the foundation for like the language they're even using right now. It's all bullshit. So
we have to go back to talking a little bit about this picture, because I'm noticing new things the longer I look at it. First of all, it's entitled Rollies. R-O-L-L-I-E, capital Z, no spaces, mm-hmm, Rollies, number 309, which I guess is maybe the lot number. It has a, what you might call a French or porn mustache on it.
Yeah.
Two wild, bugged out eyes, like it's on meth and not marijuana. It's a little confusing. No. Teeth at a diagonal, which is what's really...
Crooked smile, yeah.
Throwing me. I don't know. As a weed smoker myself, I don't know what I'm supposed to be getting from this piece of art. Like, is it, it doesn't inspire me smoking. There's no smoke coming out of the top of this thing. Its head is not lit.
It's
a thin joint, I'll say too.
That's not even a fatty. That's not a big one. You know,
no. I would also say it's too perfectly straight up and down. You know what I mean? Like, it's not. Right.
There's no lumps in it. Like, you know, how are you rolling it? Is this like in a cigarette machine?
It's machine rolled and therefore has no soul.
I can't unsee this. I don't know if I'm high or something, but it looks like Steve Harvey to me. It looks like Steve Harvey to me. I don't know what else. I'm looking at Steve Harvey as a cartoon blunt. Because he's got the mustache, and now that he's rocking his bald head,
it
all kind of, and he got rid of the wig, you know, he's looking good. Okay.
This has got to be a prank, though, right? Like this...
This is the last desperate grasp at...
They're low-energy scams, because there are some people who are still... Because there are many people still... Like, there's a car in my neighborhood that is emblazoned with Bitcoin stickers and, like, different crypto, like, logos. And it's, like, saying, contact me about, like, securing your, like, fortune with crypto. Like, and this person just drives around constantly. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, you a bag holder. You're not. I can only imagine like how chaotic shit is right now when when you're like, yeah, I take crypto for stuff and it's worth like fuck all right now. It's all very, it's like all of it. I mean, it is a prank essentially, because at the end of the day, you're gonna be like, yeah, I own this thing. And what you own is a link to a, like an image hosted on a different server, where the person who actually owns the server where your image is at, they could change the picture. And you don't, and now you own some other shit. I mean, like, it's that fucking, like, simple.
Oh, no. Could you imagine? That's the worst time to get a dick pic. Just be like, no!
Yeah. get Rickrolled with your NFT. For like,
$5 million to look at this bad picture of a joint.
Right. Like
that everyone has access to look at. That's
we're looking at it right now and we're like, fuck this thing. And someone's like, oddly enough is before they was listed for $5 million, someone bought it for $30. And they went and turned around and said, hey, I want to sell this thing for fucking $5 million. Like the time has come and gone, y'all. Like you're more likely to make your $30 back by selling 16 used copies of Grand Theft Auto 5 on PlayStation 4. Like, let's be fucking real here. But even then, like a lot of people are looking at just like even at like NFT marketplace sort of standards, the GameStop site is absolutely terrible. And on top of it, they're selling like the most fucked up shit. There's a picture of a piece they called The Falling Man, which looked like an astronaut like descending to Earth. And it was like these geometric lines behind it. But some people were like, hold on, that looks like the famous photograph of the guy who was falling from the World Trade Center.
No, it's
on 9/11.
Not.
And it was that. They just drew a space costume on this picture and were like, that's an NFT called Falling Man. And you're like, that's the picture of the guy on a 9/11.
Wow.
But it's an NFT, though. So that's how this website is operating right now.
I have zero words. I have zero. What were you thinking? Oh, my God. No.
Look. They're desperate. Look how many crypto things are going down. I'm telling you, Staples is going to be called Staples Center fucking next week. Fuck that crypto.com shit.
Bring it back.
I called it last year. I'm like, that shit won't go more than a year. I feel like they're going to be late on their payments. There are already a few different like sports teams that are complaining that their crypto sponsors are behind on their payments and shit. Well, yeah, the market fucking crashed.
Y'all did not do any research before you encouraged people with no money to start buying this shit.
Well, you know, when I think that's what was intoxicating about it is that rich people kept talking about it. So you were like, well, they're rich.
They got the inside scoop.
It's got to make money. It's like, no, motherfucker, they're trying to dupe your ass into jumping in the pool so they can get the fuck out. This isn't the first time, though, a company out of nowhere was like, hey, we're getting into crypto. I don't know if you noticed this. Radio Shack did the same thing. Do you know, like, when you watch it? Have you seen a YouTube video where the dude with glasses, Ty Lopez, he's like, look in my garage. I got a Lambo. I also got this Ferrari. Also, look at this in my garage.
Yeah,
I got this whole bookshelf full of books.
Yeah.
How do I do it? That same dude who's like that prosperity nonsense dude, he like went in on buying like the like sort of the copy, like the brand of Radio Shack to try and get it to do something cooler. And he immediately pivoted to doing like edgelord tweets and selling crypto. So I don't know if you saw these tweets. Did you all see these fucked up Radio Shack tweets from like a couple weeks ago?
I kind of saw it. Were they funny or no?
Prepare your ears for what happened when Ty Lopez, the YouTube pre-roll guy who's like, how'd I get this Lambo? Took over Radio Shack and was like, this is the brand now. June 29th, 2022, 5:18 p.m. at Radio Shack tweets. If you find a squirter, marry her. Radio Shack.
Helpful advice from Radio Shack.
But what were you?
Huh?
That's just a thing you randomly tweeted. Here's what I don't understand. Any community manager worth their salt is like standing right behind you, essentially, as you're, you know, when you have someone take over, which is something companies do a lot, you know, there's somebody on the other end being like, and delete. Nope, not putting that out there.
Okay,
or
how about
text
this one?
Me what you're going to tweet first. Oh, no.
How about this one? Just took an upper decker in at Applebee's. Ask me anything. That's from the Radio Shack account. No?
Okay.
How about this one? Taking the second half of an edible after feeling nothing from the first half is always a bad idea. This chocolate bar got me out here fighting for my life.
I mean, relatable, but I don't see what it has to do with Radio Shack.
Also, this chocolate bar got me out here. Oh, you're out here, Radio
Are
Shack?
You, sir?
For real?
Are
I don't know
you?
About that. How about You're this not. One? Because I think Radio Shack must be this really cool black person. It says, any interaction with this tweet will be considered for a chance to win catching these motherfucking radio hands.
Oh, you want to be black so bad, sir. You really trying
to. I know, the internet, look, isn't it such a fucked up place? So Radio Shack pivoted to that. They're tweeting that shit out. They put out their own token that was called like Radio Coin or some dumb shit. It's now like worth like, I think, less than a fucking penny. And this is just like a tale as old as time.
To watch Radio Shack get rebooted to also just fail again is pretty funny, though.
Right. Exactly. Like, resurrect it just for some fucking, this dude, the Lambo garage pre-roll guy from YouTube to be like, dude, if she's a fucking squirter, marry her, dude, at Radio Shack. This will help my business. What?
Well, it gets eyes on it, right?
Yeah, like it's
and all of the jokes, it's only, you know, the jokes. It's because it's Radio Shack that it's mm-hmm. funny. That it's yeah. that's it's relying on that one thing.
Right, exactly. But even then, like it reads like shit Elon Musk tweets.
Yes.
So it's like, so then you're like, ugh, but then you realize the people who are there are like, dude, Elon's fucking sick, dude. We gotta fucking like we need that vibe. But for Radio Shack, like shit posting.
Is Elon still doing crypto? Dogecoin?
Yeah, you know, when it makes sense for him to create some more revenue. I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's talked about Doge. I'm pretty sure Tesla is no longer taking crypto anymore for payments. I wonder why, because it's fucking worthless. I think there's some astronomical amount Tesla lost from like holding a ton of crypto, and it's just things are compounding. Whatever.
How's the company still standing? That was wild.
Hey, man, just a matter of time. But I mean, honestly, like I feel like that's why I'm like always when I talk my hear my friends talk about crypto, I'm like, please don't do this. Like I know enough people who have lost significant amounts of money because they bought hook, line, and sinker. This idea that this was like their ticket to the top, and over investing, not being balanced with shit, and then being like,
yo. Start with your little $100, $50, $10, and just see where it takes.
Yeah, that's
take
what
it
I do.
Slow, y'all.
You know what's wild? I put in like a couple hundred, and when I lost $50, I was like, ah!
Yeah, it hurt. Yeah. I said, what is going on?
That inner immigrant kid, I was like, that's fucking,
that's cash.
Bullshit. Like, how? That's why I'm so bad at like investing shit, like traditionally like that. And I only gamble, you know.
White people scam. They're like, when we only had the money, we created a system that intentionally left people out. And now that y'all are figuring it out, we're just going to keep making it harder.
Right.
Keep making it more challenging and less, again, tangible. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around like, no, stocks. I'm like, I put it in this company and I don't take it out. Would that increase my value? What?
I got to find this.
What if I just have a shoebox full of money? I'm going to do it like my grandma did. Just a shoebox full of money. Cash hidden in drawers. We're going to keep it safe with me.
Can I just... let me just read you this again, this description of this person who is trying to defend NFTs as the markets are dying. If you make an NFT of a real diamond and the diamond itself gets destroyed in a fire tomorrow, I'm pretty sure a diamond can't be destroyed in a fire. Just... whatever.
It's singed. Science, throw it science, in the trash.
If you want to call it that.
Your diamond gets dirty, you have to throw it away.
Yeah, and imagine it got all dirty and you fucking ditch it. It says, if the diamond itself gets destroyed in a fire tomorrow, you still have the same asset because the token still exists and is in limited supply just as before. Nothing has changed. What NFT is doing to the concept of asset, few understand. That's bullshit. I'm sorry. Like, I want my motherfucking diamond.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't... You,
I did propose to my wife with a picture of a ring. And she
this
liked it.
It's
the same.
This ring in the image, it was destroyed in a fire yesterday. But this asset remains. So will you here? Let me turn it. Let me roll it up into a ring I can put around your hand. Will you marry me now with this? Oh, it's very grim. It's very grim, everybody. Please keep your head on a swivel because many people in this age of lack are preaching all kinds of ways to become, you know, attain wealth. And 99.9% of it is just a way for you to become a bag holder. But Martin, thank you so much for coming on the show and being honest with us about your takes, where you stand on the big issues. Where can people find you and follow you and listen to you and all that?
I am on Instagram.
Yes.
At Martin Urbano. I also have at Martin Urbano Jr. It's my professional name.
Oh, okay.
My acting name, like Robert Downey. And I am doing the clown parade for the next few episodes. So
yeah.
They turned out pretty good. I'm pretty happy with them. Also, I just remembered that I have an NFT.
Oh, great.
So,
which one?
If you hit me up, if you'd like to buy my NFT that I got for free at the NFT convention.
They're like, your attendance is like, hey, dude, free NFT for you, bro.
Free NFT. I'll be selling that for $5 million. Three is a good fair price. Thanks for having me.
Wait, what's the NFT? What's the picture of?
I think just like a nebula.
You're really looking it up right now. So you really do have this.
I'm trying to. I'm like, I can't even remember how to access it. Really. I think I'm locked out of my NFT account. Oh, honey fungus specimens R005 NFT.
Oh, fantastic. So I love that.
If that sounded interesting to you.
If that sounded interesting to you and you have 4,000 Ether, hit me up. Please do. 4,000, nothing less than 4,000 ETH. Sorry, y'all. I'm not a broke boy. And what's like a tweet or a contribution to social media work that you're enjoying that you want to put people onto?
I wrote it down because I really enjoy chaotic nightclub photos.
Oh, yes.
A classic Twitter account. Love it.
So good. Makes me happy every time I see it.
Those are so fucking wild. Like, and are most of them in Europe? They have to be
it
in Europe.
It feels
right?
Very German Berlin club scene to me.
Right.
The girl peeing in a glass and then setting it on a table and someone throwing that pee back on her is my favorite one. The most chaotic so far. So also, good. Black guy making out with a white girl and now her foundation is all over his face is another classic.
That's like a two-frame one, too, right? They're kissing, and then the next one, like, he just got that, like, dust circle on his face. Oh, shit.
That's a great account. If you ever need a quick laugh, head over there.
Yeah, there's always some good ones. I did not see the one with the person doing the pee and then the pee being thrown. Oh, you hate to see it.
Or maybe she set it on a table. Like, she's like, you know, sometimes there's, like, elevated VIP spots and they've got bars. So she grabs a glass off the VIP table, pees in it, and then sets it back on the table. And the person just immediately picks up the glass and throws pee all over her. I was like,
oh, shit. I just, oh, no. Yo, she was reckless.
She was in the middle of the club.
And everybody was, like, looking. Everybody was looking at her.
And it was not getting in the cup. Either.
That's everywhere. It's all over her hand. You can't. It's really challenging.
I'm sorry.
Someone
you can't,
with a vagina to aim that in a cup.
Yeah.
Like, next to impossible.
Right.
But actually, after watching that video, I realized I should marry her. According to Radio Shack.
That's a keeper. That's a keeper. If and also too, like, just to reference that line about weapons that are formed against me cannot prosper. When you're peeing all over yourself anyway, trying to get in a pint glass, motherfucker, they're putting it on, throwing it on them already. It's like they're already covered in pee. Like, it's not going to do much more to them. Yeah. Sorry. You only make her stronger. Joelle, how about you? Yeah. Thanks so much for joining me today. Thank you so much for being here.
Fun. Thanks for having me.
Where can they find you, follow you, listen to you? And what's a tweet that you like?
Yes, y'all know me. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's JoelleMoniqueUE. I have liked so many. So here we go. One is from Weird Al Yankovic. He says, this is the second time in less than a year that there has been a TV episode entitled Weird Al is Dead. Is the universe trying to tell me something? So there is both a Why the Last Man, which was sadly canceled before its time, episode called Weird Al is Dead. And now Paper Girls has an episode called Weird Al is Dead. Sorry to Weird Al. You're going to be okay. I don't know why people keep doing it, but it's funny to me. Another one is from the first Okiro that just says, I'm going to miss Scott Lang, RIP Ant-Man. And then just a swole ass picture of Jonathan Majors on a beach. He's coming as Kang the Conqueror. Marvel will destroy everyone. And I'm here for it. Teron Moore at Tear tweeted, Beyonce, my eyes are so tired of rolling. How dare you? Just, I know you think we deserve this shit, but I promise you, we don't. And we don't. We are just blessed and honored to have Beyonce in our life. Thank you for blessing us with an album right before the weekend. Again, so gay, so lovely. And then finally from Sarah Benicasas. She says, this is definitely a surprise extra kid album. A lot of untamed feral third children will be named Cozy for reasons that won't become clear to them for a while. Hashtag Renaissance. And I agree, Cozy is maybe the hit of the album after Alien Superstar. Those are probably my two favorites so far. It's a classic. If you have a boo thing, get on it. Make a third baby just for funsies, because wow.
Oh, shit. Let's see. Some tweets that I like. First one is from P. Smith, as Psycho P. Smith tweeted, or Smith, but with a P in front of it, said, in GTA 6, the unionized sex workers will be earning a real living wage when you drive a tank through the strip club. And everyone was talking about, like, it's so woke because they're going to have their first Latina playable character in the game. And I think a lot of people were having all kinds of things of playing around with this progress that was made. But at the end of the day, you still just will be flattening people in a tank. So it's...
But to be fair, games are It's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That's who you have to play as.
They probably would. I'm sure there's going to be a mod eventually where people will be like, dude, you can make anybody be anyone in this show. And then also Brian Lynch, at Brian Lynch tweeted, at one point, New Line could make Friday the 13th movies and also Friday movies. And yet no one did the easiest math ever for a crossover.
Which would have been an instant hood classic. Oh, better my, than Leprechaun.
100%.
I would have been checked in immediately.
Money on the table. Friday the 13th is Jason, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's Voorhees.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude. Yeah. Jason trying to fucking come through like South LA.
Also, did they go to the lake or did he come? Because Jason didn't come to their neighborhood. They have to go to him.
No, Jason. Jason needs to come to the hood. Is there no Jason in the hood movies?
I don't think so.
I mean, and not in like a problematic way, but you know, I just want it to be. I feel like he should be in like, you know, Tiny Lister's passed away, so Debo can't be in it. There would have been an epic fight scene between Debo and Jason. And I know it's problematic to try and resurrect people who have passed away through CG, but cut the estate of Tiny Zeus Lister, like cut the estate a big check so we can have Debo versus Jason. That's a fucking movie right there. Debo versus Jason.
Oh my God. Fuck.
Okay, I'm sorry. I can't keep giving the fucking studios free IP ideas like that. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can check Jack and I out on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties, our basketball podcast. And if you like weed and trash reality TV shows like I do, specifically 90 Day Fiancé, because let's face it, that's all I got right now. Check me out on 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra. And also, check us out at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes!
Thank you, Joelle, for that. Where we also link off to the song that we're going to ride out on. And I think I heard tell that there's this young woman that hails from, I believe, Houston, Texas, born on September 4th. The Virgo has come back to Earth.
Yes.
With the album known as Renaissance. And I'm just going to say, listen to I'm That Girl, because that's the first track on the album. And then you will have to continue listening to the rest of the album. It's already, man, as a first track, that's the only part I listened to because I was really tired when it dropped. But I'm ready.
Motherfuckers ain't stopping me. That's what Beyonce said, and she meant it.
Thanks so much. Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back later to tell you what's trending. Until then, enjoy yourself. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say "free this week" into your Xfinity voice remote.